Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Months ago, the Florida Surgeon General recommended that Florida counties stop fluoridating their water. At this point, we are in the minority of Florida counties that have not removed fluoride from the water. I've been doing this for about 20 years. It took this long before someone in government finally caught up and brought this to everyone's attention. At this point, Okaloosa, Santa Rosa, and Escambia still fluoridate parts of their water. If the ECUA or anyone on this panel believes that they know more than the Florida Surgeon General or the Florida court that ruled that it lowers the IQ of children, then they should publicly have a debate here. You can invite the Florida Surgeon General here and you can debate him publicly.
So this is Rick Fry. He is a activist on anti-fluoridation here locally, and I have watched him. This was at the Escambia County Commission meeting on the 9th of January, and the response from the county commissioners at that time was, brother, you're in the wrong place. You know, we don't control the water. And his answer was, well, you have power and you should, you know, do something, say something. He took their note and went to ECUA, which I think he has gone to before. But I happened to watch this meeting because, you know, somebody said, hey, you ought to watch this meeting. It was interesting. And so I did. And I watched particularly the beginning and the open forum part and then the end part where they had quite a long conversation about this. And ECUA is very much considering this question now because of the work of both Rick and also somebody else who showed up at the meeting, a woman named Melody Romanchek, and basically laying out the case for why fluoridating the water is A, bad, and B, wrong. Even if you think that it's okay to have fluoride, their argument is it's wrong of you to impose it on those of us who don't want to have it.
Earlier this year, the National Toxicology Program, NTP, conducted a systematic review of the published scientific literature on the association between fluoride exposure and neurodevelopment and cognition. They concluded that higher levels of fluoride exposure, such as drinking water containing more than 1.5 milligrams of fluoride per liter, are associated with lower IQ in children.
Yeah, and that is. I've looked at that study, and that is what they concluded. The 1.5 is relevant because the amount of fluoride put in our water by ECUA is 0.7 parts per million. And so this study gave not full, but some. They were measured in their assessment of it. Correlative relationship between fluoride in the water and lower IQ by is more than a point, but less than two, depending on how you look at the data, for young children developing a slightly lower IQ. And again, on a scale of 100, one may not be like the biggest impact, especially for a higher level of fluoride than even we have in our water. But the argument is, why should you be reducing the IQ of kids at all? You know, that's not good. And if that's, you know, that may not be the only health consequence, they say. Also, you know, you can get to that 1.5 perhaps by drinking a lot of water, because even though it's 0.7 parts per million, you know, two glasses is more fluoride than one glass. I mean, it's sort of basic physics or chemistry or math, however you want to look at it. And if you are getting fluoride in the toothpaste or other sources as well, you might well be pushing over that 1.5 mark, where the evidence seems a little stronger, that's been researched more, that has that sort of correlative value. But even if you don't buy the argument that fluoride, and I don't have a particularly strong position on this one way or the other. I couldn't tell you whether the water sources at all the places we've lived were fluoridated. I know it is here. I've always had very strong teeth, but I've also, I think, grown up in places that had fluoridated water. I brush my teeth with fluoridated, you know, toothpaste. I don't particularly see the awfulness in it. But I'm willing to be persuaded. And historically, people who have been crusaders on fluoride have always presented to me a little bit like conspiracy theorists. So I haven't always taken them very seriously because they kind of have that whiff about them. This Melody Romanchek certainly does not. You know, she seems very reasonable to me. In fact, she was clearly nervous, and, you know, so I respect that. Talking to a board is always a scary thing to do. So, you know, to a certain degree, this is new territory for me. I haven't done a lot of research, but I have done a fair amount in the last week or so since watching this meeting. And I'd say I'm sort of generally up to speed on it. If you ask me which way I vote on this, I'm not sure, honestly. I see the value, you know. If the dentists, who you would think just would have a weird, perverse financial incentive to get rid of fluoride if that causes more cavities, they're in favor of it because they want to help kids. We've had, you know, a lot of time to have fluoride in the water, and I don't know that you can point to the obvious evidence that this has harmed us, but I do think people have better dental care and better healthy teeth these days. It's very anecdotal. So I do think that there's a benefit to your teeth. The question is, do the harms outweigh the benefit? But the other issue, and this is, to me, the easier one to resolve in a way, is, look, it's not really about whether you think that fluoride is good or bad to put in the water. It's the question of who should be deciding whether to have a medical therapy added to the water for all people.
This debate is not just about the science of fluoride's effects, but also about who should have the authority to make such health decisions affecting the public, especially when new research challenges long-held beliefs that we've all had.
Yeah, and look, I think if we didn't have it and somebody said we ought to add it, especially in a post-COVID era where people are much less trusting of medical authorities, sometimes for reasons, sometimes not, the idea of mandating a medical additive to the water, I think a lot of people would find that unappetizing. You know, so if we didn't have fluoride in the water and we asked the referendum today, which they did ask in 1998, 58% said yes. There was a lot of acrimonious debate about this back then. And if you ask people today from scratch, I don't know what would happen, but it seems likely that it would fail. So what these folks are saying that it's a poison. I don't think the hexafluorosilicic acid is a poison. I'm probably mispronouncing the last part of that, but I don't think the acid itself is a poison. It is a poison on its own, but when you add it to the water, it breaks down into elements that are not poisonous. But if you think it's a poison, and it certainly has bad elements for some people in certain health conditions, that's one thing. But should a majority be deciding that a minority has to have water that has that in it? Well, as an ethical question, that's really pressing and interesting. We'll come back to this in just a second and tell you what ECUA landed on. We got John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives. John?
Still dealing with the Cervantes Street Bridge closure right now, both east and westbound directions. So if you're coming off scenic, you definitely want to turn onto Bayou. Hyde Park Road, if you say, I want to take a shortcut, John, well, that is backed up also all the way to Scenic Highway, so just be aware of that. Also, if you're coming off the Escambia Bay Bridge, we're seeing just some minor slowdowns there as you approach the Scenic Highway exit due to an accident that's off the side of the road, but it's still causing you a little issues. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. So somebody says, I don't know how many people are drinking tap water these days anyway. They're either drinking filtered out of the refrigerator or they're drinking bottled water. And I know that, you know, my yard where I use the hose, it doesn't have any cavities. So people are snarky. It's funny. For me, the more almost easy one is the question of, should a majority get to tell a minority what to have in the water when it is a medical therapy additive? I think the answer there is no. I get the public health advantage. I get the argument. I believe on balance, fluoride is better than not having it. At this point, I'm willing to be persuaded. But there's definitely this question of whether the majority should be able to vote the minority to take something. I mean, you know, you can choose fluoride toothpaste or you can choose non-fluoride toothpaste. But should you be able to choose for your neighbor that their water has fluoride? That's a weird one. It's not necessary. It doesn't make the water clean. It makes your teeth healthier, right, is the argument. So anyway, where did they come down on this? Well, there was Dale Perkins, who's been on the board since 1994, goodness sakes. He's not running for re-election, by the way. District 4 representative.
In the 1900s, there were a lot more people that benefited from fluoride treatment than do now. There are more ways to get it now, and so there is some rationale that it may not be as beneficial as it was at the time. I still think it's a great thing, and I still think it's the right thing to do, and in my heart, that's why I'm voting the way I am. But I would like to, you know, get the pulse of the public and see if make sure I'm in touch with them on this.
Yeah, I like that attitude, even after having been on the board for 31 31 years. He says, I'd like to find out if I'm out of touch. That's worth asking. You know, maybe 80% of the people want fluoride. Maybe 80% of the people don't want it. But let's ask them. Lois Benson argued that there should be more of a deliberative process and they shouldn't necessarily vote forward to ask for a referendum. And then you had quite a bit of back and forth on this. And, you know, Larry Williams, there is some note about the headlines coming out of the meeting, but there has not been a lot of attention paid to this. And, you know, so I would expect there to be more, especially because some of these people are promising to go to the county commission meeting tomorrow and public forum. And, you know, some of the folks speaking on behalf of this issue, I think, are more counterproductive than helpful. But people can say whatever they want. That's the point of public forum and the strategy you use in it. So they were having a real conversation at the ECUA board about whether or not to ask for a referendum. And the direct ask for a referendum vote failed. 2-3. So then the backup motion was, well, what about if we just tell staff, come back to us with recommendations about having hearings, having experts. Joe Latipo, the state surgeon general, could come in and talk. And I think that'd be a good thing to have. I mean, he's the one who's been changing this quite a bit because he's been advocating against fluoride in the water. So have him come in, invite him to give a presentation. Invite the dentists, invite, whoever, invite a variety of people to come in and give a presentation, then have public forum and talk about it. But I think you have to ask for a referendum. Or, I suppose they might make a decision. You don't have to put it in the public. But they ought to very seriously at least reconsider the decision. Because even if you get a referendum, it'd be non-binding. They still have to make the decision. And that passed 3-2. So staff is going to come back with recommendations. And the short takeaway from all of this is, if this is the first time you're hearing much about this conversation, well, we're going to hear a lot more about it. This is most definitely going to be a community conversation. It is very likely to become a referendum. And certainly I expect a lot of other folks in the news to be covering this in very short order. So that's where we're at. 822 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I've never eaten a Hot Pocket and then afterwards been, I'm glad I ate that. I'm always like, I'm gonna die. I paid for that? Did I eat it or rub it on my face?
Informative, local, dependable. If you're wondering, that is one of my very favorite songs as far as beat goes. It's the Congos, K-O-N-G-O-S, if you've never heard that one before. Let's see. Oh, you're going to hate me for doing this to you, John, but Well, let's do traffic first, and then we'll do the giveaway. I've got some tickets to give away, and I'll give you. I know it takes you breathing space to do that during the show, so
tell them
about the roads. How bad is the Cervantes Bridge impact?
Well, it's still pretty bad right now. We're seeing if you're trying to get onto Bayou Boulevard, we're seeing some delays. Not as bad as it was before on Bayou, but you definitely want to plan around that. Hyde Park, if you're going to say, John, I'm going to take a shortcut. Hyde Park Road, both east and westbound, is having some major backups. And the bayou's backed up all the way to 12th Avenue, so be aware of that. Again, the Cervantes Street Bridge is closed right now due to an earlier accident in both the east and westbound directions, so you definitely want to plan around that. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, thanks so much, John. Now to your task. I have tickets to give away for Pensacon, so I have two tickets, a pair of tickets. If you would like to win, you just be caller number five right now, 437-1620. Light up the phones. John will pick them up in order and tell you you did or did not win. 437-1620, Pensacon tickets, and there will be more to give away in the afternoon show in Pensacola right now from 4 to 7 and here on the morning show as well. Over the course of time before we get to the great event. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson apparently still not committing to testifying before a congressional committee next week concerning Chicago's sanctuary city laws. He was recently asked to speak before the House Oversight Committee. Chicago Corporation Counsel Mary Richardson Lowry says that committee has requested several documents and a conversation will soon be taking place about what's needed from them. Johnson was one of several mayors of sanctuary cities called to testify. Police searching for a suspect in a shooting that killed one and injured about five other people at a warehouse in Ohio. New Albany, Ohio, Police Chief Greg Jones says the shooting appeared to be targeted. So far, they have not released a motive. And heavy metal icons Black Sabbath, Andrew, are reuniting for one final show in England later this summer. And it'll be the original lineup. Ozzy Osbourne, Tommy Iommi, Geezer Butler, and Bill Ward all performing together for the first time in 20 years. It's their Back to the Beginning one-day festival. Apparently, Ozzy will also be playing a short solo set as part of his last performance.
Most unfortunate part of that news story is the presence of Geezer Butler checking in at a cool 75 years young. So, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Oh, my God. There's just so much stuff going on that we haven't. I've obviously been focusing a lot on the fluoride story because it's local, it's news, it's going to become a referendum almost certainly, and, you know, it's going to be a big community conversation that has to start somewhere. But, I mean, other stuff that's in the news we haven't even gotten to. Super Bowl tickets are getting cheaper. Weird trend. Still about $4,000 a piece just to get in for barely getting in the door sake, so it's a little outside of my price range. But also, there it is. Trump is going to be the first sitting president to attend the Super Bowl on Sunday. I didn't know the president's never gone. Three vice presidents have gone, but Trump will be the first president to attend. I think that's probably a statement about safety, given what happened on Bourbon Street. Okay, and that makes sense. You know, the president's gotten a lot of attention for the fact that he said that we ought to basically dispossess or displace all of the, I don't love the term Palestinians, I never have, I think it's a misleading term, but all the residents of the Gaza Strip ought to go elsewhere, like to Egypt or Jordan or maybe somewhere like Saudi Arabia, basically somewhere else. And that he's going to raise it to the ground, rebuild it, make it into a beautiful beachfront community, and maybe make it the 51st state. He didn't go that far, but, you know, he did bring this up with Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday, and I will tell you, it is a fascinating idea.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it and be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site, level the site and get rid of the destroyed buildings, level it out, create an economic development that will supply unlimited numbers of jobs and housing for the people of the area.
So the problem is that the Egyptians don't want them and the Jordanians don't want them and the Saudis don't want them. Nobody wants them. And, you know, how long would you have to dispossess them in order to rebuild it? Would they be able to re-enter at that point? Would it be U.S. control of the territory? That's what he seems to be indicating. Would that take military action? I mean, it's a completely wingnut idea that at least nobody else has offered before. Would it work? Who knows? So wild. But, you know, it's not like there's another good alternative on the table, right? you know, we're looking for a solution. You know, would this be? I have no idea. It's so wild. Bad news on the new rifle that the military, the Army, is going to be using. You know, the in-between round, it's 6-point-something millimeters instead of 5.56, and it's not 7.62 like the AK-47. The rifles seem to work okay. They have good punch, better stopping power, but the sights don't work, apparently. So the optical sights do not survive a 72-hour deployment. So apparently that part of the equation is not quite solved yet. Is it just me, or is our military procurement these days never good? Or never what you expect it to be?
Fox News, and I'm Chris Foster. There's a manhunt in central Ohio after a workplace shooting at a warehouse. One person is dead, 5 hospitalized.
Police Chief Greg Jones says when responding officers arrived at the warehouse for KDC-1, a cosmetics and personal care company, people were running from the building for safety.
We have a person of interest.
Officials say they're looking for Bruce Reginald Foster III in what Jones says was likely a targeted attack. Investigators recovered a firearm at the scene and say they don't believe Foster poses a general threat to the public.
Fox's Tony J. Powers, that shooting in New Albany, Ohio. He says they'll come around, but for now there is widespread rejection of President Trump's plan for the United States to take over and redevelop the Gaza Strip next to Israel, sending Palestinians there to live somewhere else.
Level it out, create an economic development that will supply unlimited numbers of jobs and housing for the people of the area.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3 62. Right now, cloudy skies in Pensacola. Well, if you've driven over a 3-mile bridge at night, you've probably noticed the lights are not working. It's been that way now for a few weeks since the big snowstorm. FDOT does say they've had engineers inspecting the electrical system on the bridge for repairs, but there's no timeline on how long that will take. Gulf Breeze police say they will try to have officers on the bridge at night to help drivers with visibility issues.
We'll do what we can with the, you know, manpower we have to try to be seen out there and hopefully slow everybody down. And that's what we'd ask, you know, people that are driving. If you can't really see the hood of your car, you don't need to be going that much faster than the normal speed limit. You should be going below it.
That's Gulf Breeze Police Chief Rick Hawthorne. He says some of their employees have been driving to work and reporting having difficulty seeing, especially on the recent foggy mornings that we've had. Escambia County investigators looking into a tragic murder-suicide earlier this week off of Millbrook.
In this case, we had a son in some sort of an argument or disagreement with his father, ended up shooting and killing his father, and then he came outside of the bedroom that they were in, ended up getting into an altercation with his mother. His mother subsequently fled to a bedroom. She heard a couple shots, and one of those shots was the son taking his own life.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, he says the father died at the scene. The son died shortly after being taken to the hospital. Simmons said, in a tragic instance like this, you may never know the exact circumstances. A motorcyclist had to be life-flighted after a crash in Cantonment this week. It happened on Highway 29 near the grocery outlet. That rider was airlifted to a local hospital. There's no update on their condition. Well, the first group of illegal migrants is waking up this morning in Guantanamo Bay, the naval base in Cuba. Dr. Andy Gomez says about a dozen people are on the base now. It can hold up to 120. The Trump administration, though, is looking at expanding the operations by a lot.
I think he called for as many as 30,000 to be sent to Guantanamo. The question that I ask myself is, what type of individuals are these? If they have committed any crimes?
Hundreds of Marines are being dispatched to Gitmo to set up tents to increase the capacity there temporarily. The detention center has previously raised red flags from advocacy groups pushing for it to be closed over conditions in the building and treatment of detainees. And if you go to Waffle House anytime soon, it'll cost you a little bit more. Lindsay Fair is one of the restaurant's customers. She visited a location recently.
A sticker on the menu. That there was going to be an extra surcharge for them.
Waffle House says they placed a temporary surcharge of 50 cents on each egg that's ordered, and they say that's because egg prices are soaring, fueled by a shortage of birds brought on by the bird flu. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with this. Cervantes Street Bridge is still closed over Bayou Tejar. There was an accident earlier in both east and west directions. You just can't cross the bridge in either direction, so just be aware of that. My advice, take Bayou Boulevard. It's starting to clear out a little bit, which is good news. You can also take, if you're coming down scenic Hyde Park Road, and turn onto Bayou to get around that. I-10 is seeing a minor backup through the construction zone between Pine Forest and Highway 29. But other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
Dense fog possible through those morning hours. Fog burns off in the afternoon. Partly sunny skies in the afternoon with a high near 72. Overnight. Dense fog possible through those morning hours. Fog burns off in the afternoon. Partly sunny skies in the afternoon with a high near 72. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61 with fog possibly redeveloping. Going into Thursday, partly cloudy skies with a high near 73. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 62 with fog possible. Stay connected. Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 62 in Pensacola, 61 in Gulf Breeze, 60 in Milton. Your money now this morning. Our markets are mixed at the opening bell. The Dow is up 13.5 points, 14,469. S&P down 10 points at 6,027.59. And the NASDAQ down 100 points at 19,553.70. 10-year bond rate today is down at 4.454%. Gold prices up 10.40 at 28.86.20. Silver price is down 20 cents at 32.81. Crypto is mostly up this morning. Bitcoin up 208 at 98.899. Ethereum's up $74. Solana's up 33 cents. No change in Dogecoin. It's sitting at 27 cents today. XRP down 2 cents at 255. President Trump says he's planning to investigate California's controversial high-speed rail project.
On Tuesday, while speaking to reporters in the Oval Office, Trump called it one of the worst managed projects he'd ever seen.
The train that's being built between Los Angeles and San Francisco is the worst managed project I think I've ever seen, and I've seen some of the worst.
He also says it's impossible that something could cost so much, adding that the rail line is no longer going to Los Angeles and San Francisco as initially planned. Trump says he will not let the Department of Government Efficiency, headed by Elon Musk, lead the investigation into the high-speed rail project. This comes with Governor Gavin Newsom expected to meet with Trump in Washington, D.C. today. They will discuss securing critical disaster aid for Southern California wildfire survivors. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Thanks, Mark. The number of job openings fell to a four-year low last month. The Labor Department says 7.6 million jobs were available at the end of December, which suggests jobs are now getting harder to find. Professional and business services saw the biggest drop in openings, followed by health care and social assistance. And General Motors is laying off half of its remaining employees at its discontinued Cruise robo-taxi business. Cruise shared in the news in an emailed statement on Tuesday, calling it a difficult decision. CNBC reports the layoffs will mostly be impacting engineering positions. It's 8:38. Our next news at 9, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Black History Month, dinner with an aria, the new semester of the Atlas Beverage Class, Pensacon at the Fish House, and Naples to Napa food and wine event today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Ladies, are you looking to make a big difference in the new year? I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola Bay Area, a woman's philanthropic group that has awarded over $17 million to nonprofit organizations in our community. Women 18 and older are invited to upcoming meet and mingle events, with March 1st as our membership deadline. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org.
Every hour of every day, Fox News Radio is there with the latest breaking news and information you rely on.
This is a Fox News alert.
I'm Lisa Brady.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
With Fox News correspondents around the globe.
At the White House.
Pray Yingst in Kyiv.
On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The news that matters most to you. The top headlines, all in one place. America is listening to Fox News Radio.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore.
All right, this is a very, very, very simple question. We need to decide what we're going to call the snowstorm. That's it. We're going to take a quick opinion poll, and I will bow to the will of the people. I will. I mean, somebody texted me in and said, you should just stand your ground, Andrew. Okay, look, I mean, at a certain point, you have to decide, okay? And it's a word choice matter, so here's your options. It was Snowmageddon. Or it was Snowpocalypse. If you want to simplify your text and not, you know, fight autocorrect, you can type me, I don't know, arm or pox. Arm or pox. Pox, P-O-C, P-O-X, I don't care. Arm is Armageddon. Okay, and if you have a different word you want to suggest, the floor is open to suggestions. If you have a better one that you want to, you know,
the blizzard of 2025.
4-3, because we typically in Pensacola, we don't name our events. I mean, they come to us with names like Sally or Ivan, but like we have the ice storm of 2014. Super boring. That's not a good name. We have the flood of 2014. Super. I mean, we didn't do anything, right? We completely missed the opportunity to ascribe a name. So here you can ascribe a name. And the two contenders are Snowmageddon, or arm, or mag, whatever you want to do, something short, or Snowpocalypse. I favor Snowpocalypse. The mayor, D.C. Reeves, favors Snowmageddon. Our newsroom is anxiously waiting for an answer to this question because David Wayne is going back and forth on it, trying to satisfy all and satisfying none in the process, typically, the way this happens. So, John, you're 437-1620. You can weigh in with me. And we're not calling it Enzo. I don't believe in naming your winter storms. That's a non-thing. That's a fake news Weather Channel nonsense. John Pickens, what's your preference between Snowpocalypse, Snowmageddon, or other?
Living in Milton and went through the 10.5 inches of snow, I'm going with Snowpocalypse.
Yes! Weird brag, too.
well,
Meg, I mean, Meg, who is here? Meg?
Well, I don't understand why it has to be catastrophic. Why can't it be like snow spectacular? Snow magnificent, snow fabulous, snow wonderful, snow magical.
You did offer other suggestions.
I did.
Because Armageddon, apocalypse, this is so negative, and it was so cool. It was like the best thing that ever happened.
Side question, completely unrelated.
Yes, sir.
What was the dosage on your chamomile tea this morning?
Was it hot?
I actually skipped my coffee. Maybe that's a sign.
So if you want to vote for Snow Magic.
Yes.
Or
it was.
Snowcapade. Or
it was magical.
Snowfest. If you because
hurricanes are apocalyptic, okay? I'll give you that.
Fair enough. I mean, you're not wrong. I cannot argue with the logic of it being a let's remember this as a positive thing because, you know, very little damage, nobody got injured, no very few right. I mean, there is a sense in which we could ascribe it something uplifting and positive. So
only 10 crashes.
Yeah. If you want to remember it Meg's way, that's fine. 437-1620. All right, let's take a look at some of these texts. I told you I will basically bow to the people. That's fine. I don't make that promise very often, but I will. Okay, so where's my pen? I got to start taking some. Okay. Snowmageddon. All right, Meg. I'm just doing a quick chart. Okay, apocalypse or sunny, fluffy weirdness with Meg. Okay, Meg's view. Okay, so we got Snowmageddon 1. I got to, and by what reasons are always preferred, okay, not just the answer. Somebody here says it's like two for Snowmageddon. Pensacnola.
Cute. That's a
clever
a step in
from
the,
John Hutchinson. Clever.
Step in the right direction,
clever.
John.
All right. Pensacnola. It makes my nose run a little bit, but that's okay. Let's see. We got another vote for Snowmageddon. That's three. Snowpocalypse is not doing well here, John. Another one for Snowmageddon. Another one for Snowmageddon. That's five so far. All right. You know, we clearly have a trend. Snow no mo. Snow no mo. All right. I think we should call it Winter Storm Wanda. I like that. Another one for Snowmageddon. Hey, Snowpocalypse. Good. 15 votes all of a sudden. Just kidding. Somebody says, Snowmageddon, give it up, Andrew. You're not winning this debate. Fair. That's why I did this. Okay. I put it up on Facebook and it seemed evenly split. How about Bizarre Blizzard? Or we could call it Snowy McSnowy Face. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. We'll come back to this in a second.
Yeah. So if you're traveling and wanting to go over the Cervantes Street Bridge, well, you're out of luck on that one. It is still closed due to an earlier accident. We're trying to get more information on that to see when it will reopen. Also, so that means you need to take, if you're coming down Scenic Highway and you need to get around, take Hyde Park Road to Bayou Boulevard. Bayou Boulevard starting to open up just a little bit, so not as much of a northbound delay as it was earlier. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the question of the day, which is, what's the name for the winter storm we just experienced? Is it going to be going for it? We're settling this now. Like, this is it. This is your chance. Weigh in now or forever hold your peace. You know, they're getting married. We're marrying the term. Okay? So, Snowpocalypse, Snowmageddon, or happy snow, fanciful play in the snow day and remember it fondly. I think that was your exact quote, right?
Snow magical.
Snow
snow miracle.
Somebody texted in, women.
Boys, boys, boys.
Exactly. Your brand. That's your brand. Okay. Snowpocalypse. We've got to vote for that. Snowpocalypse. That's 7-3 so far. Snowtastic, somebody says.
Yes, I like that one.
A snowtrophy. Like a catastrophe? A snowtrophy? Hmm. Or snow trophy? I don't think that one's going to last in the voting. But I like the creativity. I always like creativity, so I'm in favor of that. I think we mostly call it what the blank is going on. Is this really happening? Ah, the giant what the bleep of 2025. That's going to be your winner. Let's see. Where is it? 437-1620. Snowacane. Oh, as a hurricane.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
Snowacane. Cool. Sounds like Novocaine a little bit. We've already had too much dentist talk tonight today. Snowpocalypse. All right, it's coming back. Snowpocalypse is coming back. How about Snowlicious?
Oh. Yeah.
All right. Oh, and two more votes for Snowpocalypse. Okay. Snowmagicalypse.
Yes. I think I have more votes now than Snow.
You have a couple of stragglers.
More
not
than.
Not to be like the, you know, the international election, please. Snowpocalypse. Seems like we had that reference. We had a snowpocalypse in Pensacnola. I see. All right. Another snowpocalypse vote. All right. Another. See, it's coming back. I like that. Snowway. Pox. Snow Wonderful. Somebody votes for that. A
Yay.
Local, very active businessman
Thank
votes
you
for that.
Your vote.
Pensacola on Ice. Oh, that's cute. All right.
Yeah.
That's a little Disney on ice. Now
Love
Snowmageddon
it.
Is making a comeback. Snowpocalypse. We're almost to the end of the time. You better text me real fast. Snow my Karen? Okay. Snowmageddon. This is going to be a tie.
No, it's not. Keep voting.
I'm not going to tie anything. Snowpocalypse because I want to be your friend. Oh, yeah. You can always butter up to me. Oh, an earlier vote from somebody I respect greatly said Snowmageddon. I would never be in the opposite. I want to be on the opposite side from that person's vote. If those are the only options, Snowmageddon, I guess. That ain't beach sand, we'll call it. Snowmageddon. I can't even read this one. You need to type with clearer handwriting. Somebody here says, that's a joke. I want a third party to review the votes. We need to get Robert Bender and Tappy Villain in all this. Snow, go get milk and bread. I kid you not, I have 12 for Snowmageddon and 12 for Snowpocalypse. Y'all. Well, no, I have the answer.
It's off to a recount.
Yeah, no, we can do a ballot initiative.
There you go.
In the April 1st election. Yeah. If we're going to be voting for Congress, let's vote for the name. It doesn't cost more in print. Get the county commission.
I just want to personally thank all the write-in candidates.
I do too. I like that. Somebody tried to stuff the ballot box. They tried to put in 6, 8 snowpocalypse. This is not Chicago. No, you don't get to. I mean, I agree with your answer, of course, but you know that's not. Oh, and we got Deborah texting. She's with you.
Thank you, Deborah.
So, Deborah's such a sweetheart too. All right, well that's it. We solved nothing. Like every day, I'm Andrew. No, we sometimes solve things. I swear we do sometimes. I'm Andrew McKay.
Are you feeling tired, slower, or achier than you used to? You might think it's just age, but it could be low testosterone. At Wave Men's Health, they've helped thousands of men who didn't realize their symptoms were caused by declining testosterone levels, a problem that's becoming a new norm in American men. Wave Men's Health refuses to accept this new normal. They're committed to restoring testosterone to healthy levels so you can feel like yourself again, whether at home, in the gym, at work, or in the bedroom. For years, their providers have delivered testosterone therapy tailored to each man's needs. No one-size-fits-all solutions, just real science-backed results delivered by discreet local experts. Imagine more energy, sharper focus, and newfound confidence. A same-day testosterone check and consultation is just $99. Call 850-266-7020 or visit WaveMensHealth.com today. Your prime years aren't over. They're just waiting to be unleashed. Wave Men's Health. Making it happen.
Hey there, home buyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell and Company Realty,
your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top.
So when it comes to real estate, trust us at BuySellCannell.com.
That's BuySellCannell.com.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Look, mister, there's 3 rules you've got to follow.
Yeah, what kind of rules?
Keep him out of the light. He hates bright light, especially sunlight. It'll kill him. 3.
No.
What happened?
He hates bright lights.
Chappy.
Look at you. See? Wow.
Since we're playing with names, right? I was trying to figure out how can I make this work, but on the Chappy, because there's a push up to name it Chappy Memorial Bridge. So, yeah, no, that's there you go. So the lights don't work on the Chappy. And nobody knows why. So we had a... What was that out-of-area contractor that built the 3-mile bridge? Skanska! See? I mean, don't you have to blame Skanska for this? Isn't it fun to blame Skanska for something else?
Yes.
Also,
let's do it.
Yeah, let's just say Skanska built a bridge that couldn't withstand a very normal 25-degree, 9 inches of snow day.
Snowpocalypse.
Snowmageddon.
Snowpocalypse.
Gulf of Mexico.
America.
Your mic's not on.
I know. That's why,
you know. why are the lights off on the bridge? Don't ask questions. Because the bridge lights are out. Yeah, but why are they out? Because the electricity. Why the electricity? Because the lights are out. We don't know.
They cut you off.
But eventually, FDOT will fix it with the normal rapidity with which FDOT does things. Eventually. Hey, if you're thinking about buying your next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great place to get that process going or to go all the way through to completion and have a new car. They specialize in cars that are gently used. You know, one owner, typically maybe two, 2, 3, 4 years young, 10 to 40,000 miles. You know, the kind of car that's going to last a while. Okay, the kind of car that, you know, it's not brand new, doesn't have the new car smell. But everything about it is basically in great shape. That's all they sell is really good quality cars because they're not trying to get you in to get you into a car that, you know, is overpriced and isn't going to really do well for you. They want you to have a reasonable value that you're going to come back again and again and feel so good about the transaction, unlike what a lot of us have experienced with used car sales, that you really love it. And you like, you know, one of the things I feel about Frontier is like, I trust them. Honestly, like I trust them. And that counts for a lot in a marketplace full of where you're worried about, well, is this going to be a flood damage car or a snow damage car or a hurricane damage car? Or, you know, like, you know, what am I getting? Well, at Frontier, you know, you get a good car and they're going to stand by it. So anyway, great selection. Go look and see if you can't find the exact thing you're looking for. And if you can't find the exact thing, they can go searching for you because they do that too. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell him Andrew McKay says hi. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Jerry's Drive-In, home of the original bacon cheeseburger for 86 years. Open Monday through Saturday in East Pensacola Heights. It's Jerry's Drive-In.
Are they open yet this morning? Because they're in a, like, a lot of customers are standing on their front door, right?
Yes, I would be.
Anyway, just a thought. Go on.
Yeah, well, if you're on Cervantes trying to cross the Cervantes Street Bridge just past Scenic, it is still closed this morning. My advice, take a Hyde Park Road to Bayou to go northbound, and then you can go around it via that way. Let's see. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the Fuzz.
I got chastised from a friend. Why do you only call it the Chappie when it's something negative? I don't think it's my place to lead on this question. If the people around me all start calling it the Chappie, I'll adapt. For me, it's still Three Mile Bridge. And I was only saying that because it seemed to rhyme with the song. That was the reason. Put your mic on.
I'm trying. And yes, I do have to say something. I was just joking about FPL cutting off the power to the bridge. I was just joking.
Well, for non-payment?
Yeah.
Okay.
But somebody made it very clear that they did not do that. So I wanted to clarify that that was just a joke.
We have a number of people that might need to go back to humor school. Which could be us. Could be we. We're
probably
the ones that
us.
Oh, Pam Bondi is the attorney general. This is, to me, you cannot argue she's not qualified. You can argue you don't like her politics, but that's the president's prerogative. And remember, Merrick Garland got approved 70-30. Clearly qualified. Clearly, you'd have political arguments against him. Now, of course, that comes after he got really badly treated over the Supreme Court nomination. I'll say it, and I've said it before. But okay, so Pam, this should have been a more bipartisan vote. You know, the Rubio vote was unanimous, I think, 98-0, 99-0, I forget who. I know the vice president couldn't vote because he was not in that role anymore. But anyway, this should have been a much greater majority. It was like, what, 54-46, I think, something like that, 45. Anyway, so sad that it wasn't a more overwhelming vote because she's clearly qualified. Other votes are going to be more controversial. I was just surprised that one wasn't clearer. UWF students had a protest yesterday about the Scott Unor being the on the board. You know, he's the one that has the, I don't know, I don't even want to say controversial. I guess it is. But, you know, the controversial views about women and education. And so they had about 100 people. I had a friend who was at UWF and sent me some pictures yesterday. And I said, oh, about 20. He's like, these are early. There were more later. By the way, they were chanting your name, Andrew. Hey, hey, ho, ho. Andrew McKay has got to go. I'm like, no, they were not. He's like, no, they weren't. I'm joking.
I was like, I wanted video of that.
I want to be the subject of a mean chant. Come on. But make it creative. I mean, come up with something really good. What was the other one that I was going to... Oh, you know what? We have no time to talk about this. This is unfair. The Black Hawk helicopter in the horrible crash at Reagan DCA was flying too high. Also, I watched a really good analysis of this that the short version is there were two planes in the vicinity. The helicopter pilot seems very clearly to have been aware of the one, thought that was the one they were talking about. Yes, I'm clear from that one. I have control of being separate from that one, and did not even realize the other one was there. And so obviously didn't get out of the way because didn't even see it at all. And horrible mishap. complete misunderstanding about which plane they're trying to avoid, and so not even trying to avoid the one. That seems to be it. That seems to be the answer. And still praying for all the families.
Listen on air.